Well, this is a passage that was the end of the context that Dave just got through reading. I'm going to have another one for you in a moment before we start to replace this one. I'm going to try to make this lesson reasonably short, if I can keep my mouth shut. Before we get into it, there's a problem to overcome. One is to get you to understand how serious the problem is we're trying to deal with. In what Dave just read, there were 600,000 males that left Egyptian bondage. How many made it? Okay. Of age, yeah. Not good odds. I mean, when Paul's trying to, what is Paul trying to tell you? I mean, you may read it as Old Testament or the language is a little archaic or whatever, but look at the odds. Okay? At the time of Noah, scholars estimate there was something like 2 million people on the planet. How many made it? 8. Yeah, you do the math. When we're talking about temptation, we're talking about something that affects every one of us. Yeah? Because if nothing else, the subject is so broad, it's almost impossible to deal with in like a 30, 40 minute sermon. In fact, when I got interested in all this, not only for my own self and starting to research what the Bible has to offer, just, you know, probably the best volume I've found is this one on Christian counseling. You notice how thick it is? Okay, this is trying to deal with most of the subjects that are out there that the church faces, not the world, the church, and biblical solutions to deal with it. Okay, am I getting through to you? Okay, if we want to make it more personal, just this congregation. Annie came forward this morning, and she kind of chastised me. She said, "No, you gotta be more direct. You gotta, you know, you can't soft soap it, whatever." I don't want to name names, but there's a lot of crap going on in this congregation. Okay. There's a family that's not here. It hasn't been here for a while. I finally called them. The reason they're not coming, the man has an alcohol problem. Member of the church. We got people with problems of that nature, drug problems. Individuals, yeah, I heard, you know, one of went to the encampment was an embarrassment to everybody. The young people, several of the boys in this congregation, who I know have either taken drugs or addicted to it or have slept with women that they've dated. Not just this congregation, there's other, you know, places, you know, I've been or know of. You know, we're the young people. I mean, members of the church are affecting other members of the church. One of the closest friends I had in Florida, a young man, in fact, I was, you know, with his brother in college. So he was you know, a lot younger than, you know, his brother was younger than I was. He was a lot younger, but we hit it off. He's now dead because some member in the church gave him something and he couldn't get off of it. And the last part of his life was trying to get off of this thing that he couldn't and telling people from the pulpit, you know, kids his own age, don't get started. Once you get started on this stuff, you're cooked. Okay. We're dealing with hard things. I mean, the passage I wanted to replace this one with is Ephesians 2, where Paul goes, he's talking to Christians here. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's where most of us came from. So don't tell me you can't get addicted or tempted to the world, because that's what you were in before you were converted. Now, second part of the problem, of, you know, first being recognizing just how serious a problem we may have. The second is thinking God can do nothing about it. You're like, yeah, what can the scriptures do or whatever? Okay. In the course of the psychology courses I took, we had to do field trips. Okay, or we had to go, I had to spend some time in AA meetings. Yeah, it's embarrassing enough to be a drunk and be up there. It's more embarrassing to be not a drunk and have to stand up and tell people, I don't really belong here, and have them not believe you. But I was there for the research. So I'll tell you, what one guy told me, told the group. If you know about Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a 12-step program. Three of the five steps have to do with God. That's what the founders of AA figured out a long time ago. If God's not in the mix, it doesn't work. Doesn't matter how many steps you got. And this is what this guy said. He said, I went to AA for 5 years and wasn't making any progress because I kind of looked at those three steps and go, big deal. I don't need that. Never recovered. He says, it wasn't until I started plugging God into the formula that actually it started to make sense and I started getting some recovery going. Been to Chino Youth Authority, of kids that are going nowhere. Once they get of age, they're going to an adult prison and that's where they're going to stay for the rest of their life. We walk through their drug program. They only have 10 steps. But three of them are still having to do with God. Okay? Of course, they don't accept the steps. And that's why most of them are never leaving and are going to have a drug problem even while they're in there. Okay. The problem is serious. Now, I'll tell you, you get on some of this stuff that's out there and you're not coming back. Seen it firsthand. Either you die or, man, you're going to lose a massive amount of IQ points. Next door neighbor went in the Navy, got something, and then, used to come back to my parents' house and ask if I could come out to play. We're dealing with some serious stuff. And even if we're not dealing with, the narcotics or, whatever else is out there, the alcohol, and by the way, you're not hiding anything. I've been clean most of my life, so my senses are very pure. So if you've been smoking anything or if you've been drinking anything, I can smell it the minute you walk in the door. You're not hiding anything. Which is another thing you ought to think about. Would you do this if somebody knew about it, whatever you're doing? Okay. When it starts to dawn on you that God is looking down over your shoulder for every last thing you're doing or even thinking, might get you to decide perhaps how to deal with it. Because he's not only looking, he's taking notes. And after you've had your little fun and copped out of life and everything else, you're going to have to stand before God in judgment. And you're really going to not like where you're going, and there's no medication to be found there. Okay. Give it some serious thought. Seriously, the only person that can really help you to begin with is you. I've had too many people to deal with. I refuse to care more about you than you care about yourself. And there's some things you can get into that I just can't help you with. In fact, you get so far gone, even God can't help you. So what's in that world? And you better think again about those odds. Many called. I mean, those are the ones that hear the calling. Few chosen. I mean, if you look at the size of this valley, the size of this, state, how many people are in it? It's almost heartbreaking if you sit there and go to a football game, look at all the people in the stadium, and realize if they're lucky, one or two may be going to heaven if they're Christians. And even as, the few that go to church, as we look among ourselves, the few among us, how many are going to make it? Don't tell me we haven't got a serious problem when we're talking about temptation. Temptation is the biblical term for the seduction of the world. Okay? It'll get to you one way or the other. Make it a given. I mean, there's just too many areas, you know, in which the battle has to be fought. Okay? You cannot go through this life by yourself. This is why God gave us the church, why he gave us spiritual people, why he gives us access to him in prayer. You cannot do it on your own. Period. Come on, come on. If resisting temptation were really as easy as saying, just say no. Okay, that was the big thing politically. Just say no. I got news for you. You get all this stuff and there's no way to say no. That's what they tell you about an alcoholic. You know, exercise your willpower. You can't exercise something you do not have. An alcoholic, you put a drink in front of him and before you notice, you know, you blink, it's gone. There's no way you can say no to it. Unless you never get started to begin with. Okay? In this world, now the way things are going, even young people, you better be in combat mode. That means you better be aware of what's going on around you and walk carefully. Because once you get hooked, the stuff that's out there now is so nasty, all you got to do is try it once, and you're an addict. And this is the nature of sin. Okay? I mean, stop to think about it. Do you know anyone who sat down and went, you know what I'd like to be when I grow up? I'd like to be a drug addict. You know, I'd like to be able to engage in something that's going to take all my money, make me lose all my friends and family, you know, completely waste my body away, and eventually, you know, die in some back alley of a habit. Yeah, that's what I want to do. But if you don't think about it, and you just do it, that's how stupid you are. But it doesn't make sense. Sin doesn't. Okay? A good lifestyle makes sense because somebody sits down and thinks it through. They start putting up the protection. And this is what we're going to do this evening, is give you some ideas about the protection that you can build around yourself before it's too late. Because in some cases, like I said, you know, you're going to get into it, even God himself can't help you. Many temptations are very strong because they originally may have been sent to us as trials by God. He sent them to make us stronger. Okay? And what we did was we didn't do our part. We didn't do our part. I mean, young people, you know, as you think about, you know, why do your parents make you go to school? I mean, sometimes we cop an attitude, oh man, do you have to go to school today? You know, whatever. You know, well, the idea behind it was to slowly educate you and gradually prepare you for the world. Okay, here's the problem with this. At some time during that process and that progress, you decide to cop out. You're going to get behind and you'll never catch up. Now, it used to be in this country, perhaps, oh, you could drop out of school or make it through the sixth grade and then, you know, go find some good place to work, you know, and you could work a job as a man, you know, logging or whatever. Those kind of jobs aren't out there anymore. And a sixth grade education won't cut it anywhere. In fact, they used to think a high school education was good enough. It's not. Even 2 years in college isn't good enough. Okay? In fact, even some of the podunk jobs around here requires at least a bachelor's education. If you want to make it into San Diego, I found out, you either, one, have a network of people that know you can recommend you, and two, you better have a master's in business or you're going nowhere. But you decide to play, you know, video games or cough out of the system, and you put yourself in a position that you may never recover from. Or you're going to have to work harder than you ever worked in your life in order to play catch up. If we do not grow with our trials, they will overwhelm us. General mechanics. First of all, let me tell you that I think we come up with this. Well, that's the one we started with. No temptation is overtaking you such as common to man. Okay, a lot of times, you will sit there, and the excuse we use is, my problem's so unique. You know, nobody can understand, what I'm going through. No. I mean, we've probably got a building full of people who understand what you're going through. What you need to do is start sharing it with people so they can tell you how they got through it. Okay? And doing some study for God to tell you how he got through it. Yeah, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. If you work with him, he'll make sure that you don't get into anywhere that's going to ride roughshod over you. You've got to give him a chance. But with the temptation, we'll provide a way of escape. Okay, it's like, in fact, it's an interesting term, escape here. It describes in one ancient text of an army surrounded by the enemy, and they're in a box canyon, and they're about to be, massacred, and somebody discovers a little trail up the back. And during the night, they all escape. Okay. When things are overwhelming, God will provide a way out if you look for it. Okay? And don't come up with a bunch of excuses. Okay, we learn from the scriptures that temptations can arise from healthy desires that God has given us. I mean, this is the problem. There's already an urge there. This is what you've got to be careful of. God has put things in us for our protection, for our benefit. I mean, have you ever been so engrossed in something you forget to eat? Well, God has put an urge there to remind you, if you don't eat, you're going to die. And you start to get hungry. Okay? It's a good thing to start with. Okay? Same with the sexual urge, to remind you, I need to be paying attention to my mate. We've got some things to work out. We need to think about these things to help one another. There are good things within their parameters. We got to be careful they don't go away. One preacher put it this way. He said, can you imagine, people flocking into an auditorium and maybe some ventriloquist up there with a plucked chicken, and making it go through a little sexy dance and everybody salivating as they look at this plucked chicken? Well, I know I'm hungry, but I'm not that bad off. But we gear up and we over, encourage or, churn up or arouse our emotions and our passions beyond what is really sane. And this is what God is trying to protect us against. You've got them. They're good things. Keep them within the boundaries that God has given to us. And be careful of them because they can be very strong if you let them get out of hand. We understand that God is always around to help us and afford us opportunities to escape. I mean, this is James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Okay, if you're having a problem, whose fault is it? Oh, it's my parents. They didn't look after me. They didn't bring me up right. Tell that to Josiah. I mean, this is why he's in the Bible to begin with. You can be 8 years old and not come under the influence of a Manasseh or an Ahab. Okay? When the whole world around you is, I mean, what kind of world was he brought up in? Male prostitution houses on top of the temple. How bad does Israel have to get, to get to that point? That was his atmosphere. That was his environment. And the kid turned out to be, because he made the decision to serve God at a very young age, and he turned out, I think, probably to be the best king that Israel ever had. Don't lay the blame on anybody else. Don't lay the blame on God. You know, don't do a flip, Wilson, and go, the devil made me do it. Nobody can make you do anything that you don't talk yourself into. So, but each one is tempted when he is carried away, enticed by his own. You know, this kind of gives a bad connotation. You know, put the word desire there, because that's what we're talking about. You know, actually, lust, the beginning of the word actually had a good and bad connotation. We've given it only the bad connotation. You put desire in there, you get the feel, you know, of what it's trying to get across. That desire that God put in you, natural desire, okay? We're tempted when we're carried away, enticed by that desire, when we want to overfeed it, okay? And then when that desire has conceived, you know, it's gone beyond the parameters, you know, we've given it, you know, a leeway, the spirit is no longer in control, the body is, it gives birth to sin. Okay, it's walked over the line, and then it starts exercising itself. It starts digging in a habit. It starts the practice of sin. And when that sin is accomplished, you're dead. That's what you came out of to begin with. That's the way you were thinking. You came out of it once. You can come out of it again with the same things. God's help. But you got to inquire of it. Levels of the problem and solutions. Keep watching and praying. Why the watching? I mean, sometimes we go through life without even checking it out. You know, it's like kids that play in the street without checking out whether there's any traffic coming or not. Or people that walk blindly, you know, we just gave an illustration, yeah, of a businessman walking down the street reading the paper and not seeing, you know, what's coming out of an alley, you know, what gangs are around, who's scoping him out, you know, the guy's an airhead. You know, he's not aware of the hostile environment that he's walking through. You know, he's in his own little world reading his, you know, Wall Street Journal, which is advertising that he's got money. He's not in combat mode. And God wants us to be in combat mode in this life, because chances are your best friends are your worst enemies. Don't believe it? Get behind me, Satan. Who do you say it to? Peter. Spirit is willing, flesh is weak. Let that dawn on you. Okay? You do have... Robert Louis Stevenson sort of brought it out in the story of Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. There are two people inside of us. We're of two minds. And it depends on which one you feed is the one that's going to take over. You feed to the spirit, you're going to reap the spirit. You feed the flesh, and it's going to consume you. Come on. First of all, levels, bottom level, ignorance of sin. I mean, this is where the world does what it does, because it don't know what's right or wrong. You know, it grows up, all the people that you meet at school or at the office or whatever, they got their head in the world. And you look at that long enough, you go, well, this is normal. Okay? Or you watch, you know, the movies, you know, that's normal, you know, to sleep around or... I've actually forbidden Nancy to watch too many soap operas. Yeah, because I know it begins to affect her. Yeah, she looks at me like I'm one of those jerks on the soap opera. Yeah, and I got to deal with, you know, some flack that I even cause just because she's very suspicious. Wait a minute. Yeah, be careful what you want. You get ground into it. Yeah, that's not real. Okay, it's not real. It's a made-up world, and it's really sleazy. Okay? I used to think about, man, who watches this stuff? You know, it's not, you know, well, it's not wholesome to begin with, but who would believe this stuff that's going on? Until I got out in the world and realized it's going on all the time. You know, it's actually tame compared to what's going on out there. And, you know, because I'm a preacher now doesn't mean, you know, I've lived my life with my head in my sand, you know. 4 years in the Marine Corps, I've seen just about everything, guys. Okay, stationed in Iwakuni, Japan. 160 bars right outside the front gate and 108 hookers to each bar. Yeah, and I've had to bring some of my friends home, okay, drunk in all other sorts of, you know, stages. Come back to the barracks and find some guy asleep, naked, with his head in the toilet. That's where he spent the night. Okay. Seen this stuff. Okay. I'm not, you know, a preacher that, you know, so heavily minded he's of no worth a good. Okay. I know what's out there. Walk carefully. I say, therefore, and affirm together the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. The mostly where the world is going, it hasn't checked it out to find out where the end is. Okay, it's vain. You know, they're living in a box. I mean, it's very interesting for people on Wall Street to go, you know, live outside the box. Nobody lives outside the box, hardly. Nobody takes the time to see where they came from and where they're going. They just live for the moment. They even got Proverbs, live for the moment. You better look to see where it's going. Like I said, you know, who sits down and goes, I want to be a drug addict? You know, this is a person that hasn't looked, where's this going to take me? You know, what good place is it going to take me? Except it's going to, you know, knock me out of my mind so I don't have to deal with my present troubles. And then whatever you did to medicate yourself, whether it's a drug or alcohol or whatever, you got to wake up in the morning, deal with another day, and now you got a hangover. And that day is going to be worse than the one you tried to escape. Futility of the mind darkened in their understanding because they've made... There's a joke, Conan O'Brien, I don't know if I told this or not, Conan O'Brien. Yeah, he's had a running battle with the mayor of New Jersey. And the mayor, you know, basically, as the offshoot it, has got a restraining order so he can't land in Newark. Okay. And so his last comment, Conan's, was, I guess I'll have to get to New Jersey the way everybody else does, through a series of poor choices. Okay. And this is where sin takes us. Wherever our journey is, we've gotten there, like everyone else, through a series of poor choices. That's our vehicle. That's the futility of the mind. Darkened in the understanding, not looking to see where we're going, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in, you know, within them. Notice, at this point, it doesn't say what they don't know. This is what they know that's wrong. The ignorance. They've built their own little world of what's, you know, valid, what's right, what's wrong, whatever, and that's what they're living by. Okay, and they don't know any better. Okay, because of the hardness of their heart. Okay. The other part of this, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. That is, you didn't know. Okay, don't go back there. In fact, what does Hosea say? My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. You know, they didn't do what Moses warned them. They didn't sit down daily and go through the Mosaic law to learn what God wanted and what was best for them. They decided to let it slide. Do you do a daily Bible study? You know you should. Do you? Do you know God's law? Can you argue it? Can you protect yourself with it? Then you're not taking this whole thing seriously. And it's going to cost you. And if it doesn't cost you, it's going to cost your children. You know, we are at the crossroads. You know, there's no way else to, you know, really treat it with kid gloves. The best thing to do is to know the Word. That's what we got to this point. I mean, the power of God for salvation is in the Word. This is what He gave it to us for. The more you know, the more you're protected. The more you understand how the world works, the more you realize what the cons are. And you know what the solutions are. Okay? Those solutions can fill a book. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of God. That's a command. Okay. Ways of resisting sin. Oh, okay. Start by asking God for help. First, even before this, the engineer will tell you, half of the solution is recognizing what the problem is. Until you admit there's a problem, you're not going to go looking for a solution. This is why most people that are addicted to something, and it could be just as, you know, we could put it as addicted to the world. Maybe you're not into drugs, or maybe you're not into pornography, you're not into whatever, but you've just got an addiction to the world where you prefer to be out there than in here. It could be that simple. You got to recognize the problem. If you do get deeper, there's a curve. When someone's on the downward slope, yeah, they're going to deny everything. They don't have a problem. Oh, I can stop anyone. Mark Twain, yeah, I don't have a smoking problem. I can stop anytime. I've done it 1,000 times. Down the slope. You are not going to come out of it until you hit rock bottom. When you actually sit there like the prodigal son, eating what the pigs eat, actually eating what they leave. Here's a little Jewish boy eating what the pigs do. Finally, it says he comes to his senses. It's only when you hit rock bottom that you're going to start doing something. But by that time, you got no guarantee that you're even coming out of it or going to be even know where you are. Okay? The time is when you just started and realize, I've got a problem. I better start asking for help. Ask members of the church, ask God, whatever. But it's the beginning. Keep watching. Okay, that was the one we came in with. Matthew 6, pray then this way, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from, literally, the evil one. Okay, the temptation is going to be out there. God's not going to take it away. But he can deliver you from the evil one if you ask for help. Okay, you want to know something else you can pray for? Lord, help protect me from myself. Because it's yourself that's going to talk you into this stuff. Pogo, we've met the enemy and he is us. Overcome negative addictions with positive ones. This is why Paul constantly said in the Ephesian letter, you have a put off and you got to put on. You got to get rid of the old bad habits, but you got to replace them with new ones, or you've left a void for something else to fall. The parable of the man who had a demon, the demon went away and he goes, he cleans up the house and the demon comes back and goes, still empty. It's all nice and clean now, and he brings back 7 more. Okay. If you do not replace with a positive addiction the negative one you're trying to get rid of, it's not going to work. Those that have been on a diet, can you do it by just not eating? Right. Yeah, is it really that simple? Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, flee from you, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, because you're double-minded. Get rid of the bad side. Okay, purge it. Fill yourself with God's word. You know, get yourself into, this is why they call walking in the light. You're no longer walking in darkness. Now you've got a whole new different lifestyle. You're going in a different direction. You're growing in the spirit and away from the flesh. If you're not doing that, you're just walking parallel to the flesh. It's easy to step right back into it. Humble yourself in the presence of God, and he will exalt you. Maintain a proper conduct. Okay, do the best you can to be the best superior being on this planet. Okay, you're going to need it in all sorts of circumstances. Dave and I have been through Front Sight. One of the things they tell you in any kind of a shooting incident, one of the things you better do is have maintained an innocent lifestyle. Yeah, if you shoot someone, you better be squeaky clean and justified in doing it. Yeah, there's, if you started it, you're not going to get off. Even if it was self-preservation. Stop depriving one another, lest Satan tempt you. This is good advice to the, how strong are the urges? I mean, Jesus says, it's better to to, you know, Paul's married and to burn, you know, have the passion there. It's a strong thing. You know, when he tells his disciples, you know, about marriage, divorce, and the remarriage and stuff like that, they go, who can live with such a thing? And he goes, not everyone, you know, has the gift in order to be, you know, celibate. Okay? It's a strong urge for most of us. You know, realize our problems here that we're dealing with. Therefore, when you get into a marriage, don't deprive one another. You turn the other one over to Satan. You know, if they go wandering in the marriage, you're culpable. You're as responsible as they are. No games. No games. And when to just get out of there. Okay, there's some things you can resist the devil, and other times, Paul says, just, you know, flee. Okay, well, we'll get the passage. Learn from others and look after yourself. Okay, what do we put in the notes? A smart person learns from his own mistakes. A wise person learns from someone else's mistakes and doesn't do it. Okay, look around you. Okay, you little girls, you know, at the age of 16, do you want to be home, you know, pregnant, you know, or with a little child trying to raise it? You know, your life comes to a screeching halt. You know, you're going to lose your friends, and your life is going to be consumed with a little kids that's got a lower IQ than you do. Where are you going to with your life? Even a man is caught in a trespass, you, their spiritual restore such a one. Notice, there are people out there that are spiritual. They're out here to help you. You know, if you're caught in a trespass, go talk to them. Okay? Get some good advice. Apply the ounce of prevention. Okay? With any addiction, the first thing any doctor will tell you, or Dr. Phil, or whoever, is get rid of everything that makes it easy for you to do what you're doing. Okay? If you've got a problem with pornography, get it all out of the house. Okay? Stop the mail so that you don't get Victoria's Secret anymore. Okay, cut off, you know, the internet problem. You know, cancel the cable TV. Everything that the pornographic can come into your house, get rid of it, and be aware of things that you're not even aware, you know, that could be affecting you. Parents, have you looked at your comic books lately? It used to be, you know, well, you brought home Superman. There's no big deal. You know, high morals and everything else. Nancy and I walked out of the second movie of Superman, when he and Lois Lane decided to shack up together without marriage. I mean, this is what's put out in the world, and it comes into your home. Okay, even Marvel Comics. You know, notice the women are more than ample. Okay? I don't know if the human form actually ever conformed to the way they draw them, and they put them in the most skimpiest, you know, of superhero outfits. Yeah. And for some little kid that's just launched into puberty, I mean, it may be just a drawing, but to him it's the best thing he's ever seen. Be careful of what's happening. The alcoholic, get rid of all the bottles. The drug addict, you know, get rid of all the stuff in the house, the needles, whatever. Get it all away from you. Make it as hard as possible for you to deal with whatever habit or problem you've got. Make it hard to do what's wrong. Make it easy to do what's right. Doesn't that sound simple? But people don't do it. They lull themselves into the world. Do not give the devil an opportunity. That's what he's looking for. We are destroying speculations, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive. Think about what you're thinking about. And this is the first flag. You know, what's starting to come into your mind? Hey, you're thinking about, you know, the needle, you're thinking about the alcohol, you're thinking about the, you know, the pornography, whatever. It should be a red flag of, oh, I better get my mind on something else. Because if it sits there, really, there's nothing to keep the thought out. Because we live in a world where the thoughts come in. Okay, but what it does when it comes in is your responsibility. You can either kick it out, or you can sit there and let it fester and feed it and whatever, and then you're the one that's responsible for the problem. Take the thoughts captive. Get your mind on something else. Even a druggie is not thinking about the needle when he's got a cop chasing him. His mind's on something else. Avoid ambushes. This is part of walking circumspectly. You know, have you ever watched a Western where, you know, the scout comes back and goes, "Oh, Lieutenant, I don't think we ought to go back in that canyon. It's got Indians written all over it." Okay, oh, okay, we'll go around. It's going to cost a few days, but we'll go around. All right. Situations that got ambushed, you know, you might as well put like neon lights there, and we go, "Oh, really? Okay. Ambush. I wonder what they're selling there." You know, we walk into it. I mean, would you be stupid enough to walk down a dark alley with, you know, $20 bills hanging out of your pocket? You know, ambush. But we gladly go into a lot of situations, you know, that are of our own making. Here's my picture. Okay. I'm sure from his vantage point, this guy looks like he's standing on solid ground. That he's perfectly all right where he is. I mean, he's come up, he's probably told himself, "I can go up to the edge, you know, and I've got control. I can look over, and, you know, I've got master of my fate. You know, I can come up to the temptation. I can come up to the problem, but I know where to draw the line." And there's probably every addict in the world that's said this to him, themselves. See, what's this guy's problem? We can see something he can't. That he's not on solid ground. That he doesn't know where to draw the line. And it's not just to do with a rock. You know, I've been out in places where, you know, they got lots of rocks, whatever. Vasquez rocks, I used to go out to there. And you can go, you know, a little pointy edge, you can go right to the end of it, and you can be looking over, all of a sudden a strong wind can come up and blow you right off. In fact, they got an interesting little place back in North Carolina we used to go visit called Blowing Rock. You can, you know, sit up on the edge, and you can throw something off, and the wind will blow it right back up to you. It gets that strong. You know, sheer wind can take an airplane and slam it into the runway. Can't see it coming, don't know it's there, but it can kill you. Don't ever go up in a plane. You're forewarned. Okay. But for this guy, yeah, how do we live our lives? Do we really think we can tempt temptation? You know, and not buy the farm, okay? What's the best thing to do? Give it a wide berth, okay? What is, flee temptation. You know, you see it coming, get out of there. I mean, why do you call it temptation? Because it's got all sorts of needles and thorns and hooks and everything else. It can glom onto you. And you can't get rid of it easily, okay? Or those who want to be rich can fall into a temptation. You know, what are you pursuing in this life? You know, some things have their own pitfalls. They can suck you in. You know, do you go swimming in quicksand? Yeah. Some things we realize and other things we just don't. God's concern. Okay, since he himself is tempted in that which he suffered, he's able to come to the aid. Okay, this is something nice about God. He actually cares for us. Interesting, he probably cares for us more than we care for ourselves. This is why he's provided a book of help and power to get us through this life. Too bad nobody reads it. Okay. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. God came down, walked among us, saw all the problems we're facing. Okay. Knows how to get around them, showed us that it can be done. I mean, that's a big plus right there, that you're not trapped. You know, that it can be gotten out of if you do the right things. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. He knows. Don't ask your friends, especially the ones that are in the same addiction with you. They can't help you. Okay? The world cannot help you. I'll tell you one time, I did a presentation to the Christian Medical Dental Association. And there was psychologists and psychiatrists in there, whatever. And my subject was, of all things, Christian counseling. And I just laid it out, the advantage, and this is the way I put it, the advantage that has the Christian counselor over the counselor in the world. And I got their attention. And afterwards, instead of coming up to me and saying, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about," they came up and asked more questions. You know, they were fascinated about how much more advantage I had in trying to help somebody with their problems than they had. Summary. We've looked at the general mechanics of the problem. Review it. Okay. Know what you're facing out there. The levels of problem. There's an ignorance. You know, one of the things you want to know is, what's going on here? You know, what do I need to know? I mean, that's the first step. You know, what is God trying to tell us? From the very first incident we have in the scriptures of man, he's trying to tell us, with Adam and Eve, the pitfalls of temptation. Okay? And with Cain, you get the very first good counseling lesson. Okay? And then with the flood, you have a very good analysis of what happens when nobody listens. And then we have to start all over again and get back to God. Okay? Wouldn't it be nice if we can just start that way and stay that way? Ways of resisting sin, we've looked at it, and when just to get out of Dodge. Realize that, you know, some things are so over. If you've been to the ocean, there are times when it's all nice and calm. And you still got to, you know, be a little, if you've seen Jaws, you know, you're a little bit cautious about going into the water. But it's still all nice and calm, and we take the chance because we can't see anything. Okay. Then, you know, perhaps we've learned to body surf, and so we can see the kind of waves. And we go out there, and we've learned a few things. You know, I've learned, you know, that when the wave is coming and it's a little bit bigger than you are, you know, you can dive under it and come up on the other side, let it pass over. But you know the techniques of not getting wiped out. And there's times when the wave keeps building and building, and you figure, it's time to make it to shore before this thing crashes. Because there's no way I'm going to dive under it. And if it catches me, man, it's going to plow the ocean bottom with me. Been there, done that. Mm-hmm. And that's the temptations that are out there, the various level. You know, how are you going to play it? Okay. Just know that God's concerned, and he's here to help, and so are we. Now's the time to deal with it. Okay. If there's anything we can do to help, you know, let us know. It's too serious to ignore. Seriously. Too serious to ignore. And already in this congregation, we've had too many people that have given in to temptation and brought reproach on the church and may have lost their souls. And I don't care if you keep coming and sitting there, if you haven't repented, if you haven't confessed, if you haven't made yourself right with God and the congregation, man, your eternity's up for grabs. Think about it. Invitation's extended. Won't you come as we stand to sing?